Well, hey there, welcome back. A bright, sunny village and a dark, foreboding stranger? Oh, sounds like trouble brewing to me. Come on, let's go get started. Well, if you dare. Eventually, we'll all get there somehow, our final resting place. Or is it? This week's episode, Interred. Oh my, but he was a handsome lad. Shiny black hair, gleaming pearly whites, princely good looks, even though royalty was not in his blood. Far from it. Regal status? Notoriety? Those were things that he desired not. He drifted into the village one stormy night and inquired at the local pub.
My good sir, might you tell me where a man might find himself a room? Somewhere quiet, out of the way, would be my preference.
The bartender pointed him to Mrs. McGillicuddy's on the edge of the village. She always had a room to let. Old widows forever needing an extra farthing or two, you know, just to get by. The old woman pretty much keeps to herself, she does. If it is peace and quiet you're a-looking for, you can't do no better than Mrs. McGillicuddy's. With the storm raging, the mysterious stranger trudged through the pounding deluge.
Don't get your knickers in a knot there. I'm a-comin'.
Mrs. McGillicuddy didn't mind getting up in the middle of the night. Oh, not at all. Those extra farthings, you know. And so, with his meager belongings, he moved in that very night. No one knew who he was or where he came from. The few times he engaged with folks over the next day or two, he never talked about himself. In fact, he rarely spoke at all. Everyone just figured him for a recluse. You know, the silent type, never bothering a soul. He never troubled the village merchants for employment. Oh, when that happened, how it fueled the grapevine. Tongues wagged like a mangy cur's tail, saying how he was a wealthy heir who fled to their village to escape the patrimony allegations of some pub whore. Still other gossip mongers took a more cynical view, saying he was a fugitive from the law way down in London, where he came by a still unsubstantiated fortune by some nefarious means. Mrs. McGillicuddy told the local butcher, when she hobbled down the cobblestone street to do her Friday shopping,
"Oh, I can't figure the lad out at all, up there in his room all day like he is, just asleep and his life away. And then, 'tis long about midnight, I hear me back door open. Lord knows what he's a-doing, carousing about all night. But he always returns before sunup."
Well, long and tall, and Mrs. McGillicuddy's words spread like the plague around the village. Once again, oh, those tongue waggers, they had themselves a heyday. The village pub echoed with panic when Patrick Shaughnessy, the village drunk, went missing.
Oh, the effin' NG-ian!
Enough to keep Father O'Malley in his confessional for a month. Such a stir it made. Things like that didn't happen here. Not at all. Doors got locked, windows shuttered, and guns took down from the shelf. It got so nobody felt safe out at night. Then Robbie O'Leary's 12-year-old son went a-missing too.
Oh, I tell ya, it was him. I saw him in the moonlight. Near midnight it was. He were a-standing about there by my window, lunging all about with Robbie O'Leary's lad, slung over his shoulders.
Mary Martin McGee bellowed to the sheriff.
"Now then, Mary Martin, you best be sure what you're talking about," the sheriff admonished. "Oh, 'twas him for sure. A stack of Bibles wouldn't be enough for me to swear on."
Justice is swift in the Highlands. and sentences are harsh, harsh indeed. But sometimes those harsh sentences can be, well, a bit difficult to execute. It was a cold rain that soaked the cemetery. No one could blame those deputies for wanting to go home to a warm hearth, a warm wife fussing over a pot of lamb stew, and a nip of Irish whiskey. But the sheriff, he was not having it when he heard their belly aching.
Sean, Michael, both of you lads, keep your arses out there till them rocks is stacked up nice and high. I'm a warning you, I won't be having it. Him crawling out of his grave,
like he did the last two nights.